Our memory verse there, and we're talking about looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:4.
Yep.
And if you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles in front of you. Go ahead and pull one of those. Philippians 2:4.
Amen.
Philippians 2:4. How many are ready for Thanksgiving? Got your turkey already? Ham, roast beef, roast duck,
amen.
Roast something.
Can't wait.
Oh, everybody's waiting until the last minute when they go
amen,
on sale.
Master. Amen.
Amen. Got the stuffing, the cranberry, the fixings and the trimmings, the pies. Making y'all hungry already? Brother Duffy said, go to the restaurant. Amen. I was talking to my sons about Thanksgiving, and they said, we can't wait to get some of mom's gravy and her pies and this. And I said, you know, we couldn't wait to get my mom's food either. I said, the one thing that we dreaded, though, was the cooking dishes after she got done, because she didn't wash the dishes. They were all up to us. We were like, oh, we want to eat the food, but we don't want to wash the dishes. Amen. Especially after you get done eating, it's like, oh, okay, kids, go wash the dishes. Oh, no. Can we save them until tomorrow? When I was a kid, we didn't have any dishwashers. I mean, I remember those times.
Yeah.
When you had to birth your dishwashers, amen?
Amen.
And so we were the dishwashers. Yeah, we had to birth our dishwashers, amen. My parents had three girls and one boy, and we were the dishwashers, amen. All right, Philippians 2:4, we're going to say the reference, and then we'll quote that, and then we'll say the reference, and trust the Lord to get us through there. Here we go. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Help us as we look into this study about the power of sin and, Lord, what the power of sin can do to us. And, Lord, I pray that we might get a good grasp of this lesson, Lord, and it might bless our hearts, give us an understanding of what you're doing and what you're saying. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. Have your hands upon those that are not here. Open our eyes this morning in the Sunday school hour that we may see more of what you would have for us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right, we are on lesson number 11, dealing with the victory over the power of sin. And I gave you this thought process last week, and I said this, that when you look at a title called Victory Over the Power of Sin, the tendency is to maximize the power of sin and minimize the power of God. And what we want to do is maximize the power of God, which in and of itself minimizes the power of sin. Amen. Would y'all agree with that? Amen. If you're focused on God, you're not focused on sin. Amen. And so as we look at that title, you know, you don't want to get misconstrued on that, because the ultimate goal for you and I is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The Bible says this is the first and great commandment. So as we look at this victory over the power of sin, the greatest thing that we can do is not so much look at sin, but look at power of God. And let me give you a summarizing statement that's in the book here before we get started. It says this at the conclusion. So I'll read this again at the end. Victory is available to us if we simply access it. Then it says something else after this. But let me talk about that. Victory is available if we simply access it. Who won the victory for us? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Yes. So it says the victory is available if we access it. By the way, did Christ die for all?
Yes.
Are all saved?
No.
So if Christ died for all and all are not saved, who can access the victory? Those that are saved.
That's
amen. All that are saved. So it says victory is available to us if we simply access it. But then it says this, if we do not apply the truth of the cross, we will be dominated by sin. If we do not apply the truth of the cross, we will be dominated by sin. What did Jesus die for on the cross?
Sin.
So in other words, sin does not have the power over us because Christ died for sin.
Yes, sir.
And so he defeated death and hell and the grave and all that. Uh-huh. It goes on to say this. read the three sentences again. Victory is available to us if we simply access it. If we do not apply the truth of the cross, we'll be dominated by sin. Now, this last sentence is the most important. The problem is not that the voice of sin is so loud. It is that we are not listening to the voice of God.
Here we go.
Read that again. The problem is not that the voice of sin is so loud. We think the voice of sin is so loud.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Christian, what voice should be louder? The voice of God.
The voice of God.
The problem is not the voice of sin is so loud. It is that we are not listening to the voice of God. And so you can put it this way. A child oftentimes in a room full of people knows whose voice more than anybody else's voice when they're talking. Their parents. More importantly, they know their mother's voice or their father's voice. So there can be a crowd of people talking. And I can tell you, when I was a little kid, there'd be a crowd of them. And I hear Gregory. I knew that was my mother.
Yep.
Because very few people called me Gregory, number one.
Yeah.
Now, if she called me Gregory Allen, Gregory Allen?
You're in trouble.
Ooh.
You're in trouble, Pastor.
Now, anybody else can say Gregory Allen. And it wouldn't matter a hill of beans to me. I'm walking around doing my own thing. Da, 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 da. But if I hear Gregory Allen, ooh.
Uh-oh.
I know that voice.
Boy.
And I know that tone.
Mom.
I'm in trouble.
It's the mom.
I am currently doing something that I shouldn't be doing.
Oh,
I am in trouble for something that I should have done that I didn't do. But I knew my mother's voice. I mean, she could yell out. We'd be across the street playing baseball.
Yeah.
And I'd hear, Gregory, feed Tanya. 2, 3, 4. We knew that was our parent.
Yep.
So what am I saying? The voice of God is hearable to the Christian. And it should be audible more so than the voice of sin.
That's right.
Why? We're supposed to be dead to sin.
Yes, sir.
But we're supposed to be alive unto God. So that's the crux of what we're going to be talking about today and getting past this. And so we look at sin and we say, well, the power of sin, you know, the devil made me do it and all that and blah, blah, blah. And fooey on that. What is real is the power of God.
Yes, sir.
And how God wants to give us the victory that's already ours. We just have to access it, okay? So let's fill in Roman numeral 1, because we talked about that last week. Roman numeral 1 was this. Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. That's Roman numeral 1. And we talked about that briefly. What does that mean? That means that you and I have to refuse to say I'm going to sin just because I know I can get forgiveness. If you sin just because you know you can get forgiveness, what's a problem with that?
Tempting God.
You're tempting God, number one, yes.
Yes.
What's another problem if we sin just because we know we can get forgiveness? You're not really repentant, amen.
Yeah.
What could be another reason? I might not be saved.
I might not be saved.
I might not be saved. Before we ever sin, there should be a holy unction in us that says, you know that's not right.
That's not right.
There should be a holy unction before we even cross that threshold to do it. Ah, ah, ah.
Ah, ah, ah.
And what happens? We say, should I step or no? Holy Spirit says, you know that's not right. Yeah, exactly. Should I do it? So the voice of God already is there saying, and you really don't want to do that. The Spirit of God is saying, you really don't want to do that. And what do we have to do? Be quiet. I do want to do it. And what happens? We get in trouble. So refuse to presume upon the grace of God. Number one, A, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. Can we be guilty of that sometimes as husbands and wives? We know that we have grace in our spouse's eyes, and so we'll do whatever because, oh, she'll forgive me anyway. You know, I won't pick up my socks because she'll forgive me anyway. I won't pick up my shoes. She'll forgive me. I won't put the toilet seat down because she'll forgive me. Whatever, you know, I'll burn his food. He'll forgive me, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, do we presume upon our spouses? Yes, we do.
Yes,
we do. We do. Well, I know it's not his favorite food, but he needs to eat it anyway. Amen. Grace is not a license to sin. Then B, grace is a motivation to serve. Because of God's grace, we should be motivated to serve him. And by the way, the Bible is clear that God wants us to serve him. Does God need us to serve him?
No.
Does he want us to serve him?
Yes.
Should we serve him?
Yes.
Should we enjoy serving him?
Yes.
By the way, give you a truism here. If you're not serving God, you are serving the devil.
The devil, yep.
You say, well, I'm serving myself. Same thing.
Yes, sir.
Same thing. The flesh, self, me, I. So grace is the motivation to serve. All right, let's go over to Roman numeral 2. I'm going to fill these in real quick, and then we'll talk about it here, and hopefully we can get through both of these. Roman numeral 2, remember the picture of baptism. Remember the picture of baptism. What are we talking about? We're talking about freedom or victory over the power of sin. So remember the picture of baptism. A is we identified with his death. We identified with his death. And then B, we identified with his resurrection. All right, so let's talk about that. We're going to have victory over the power of sin. Number one, refuse to presume upon the grace of God. It's not a license to sin. It's a motivation to serve. But then number two, remember the picture of baptism. The word baptize literally means to plunge, immerse, or dunk. What are some other methods people have chosen to represent baptism? Sprinkling. Does sprinkling represent a death and a burial? No. How many of y'all ever went to a funeral lately and you went there and the corpse was laying there and they got some dirt and everybody just threw some dirt on the casket? Is that how they bury someone? No, what do? They dig a hole 6 feet under, they put the body in, and then they put the dirt on top. They don't throw dirt on them. And so baptism is a picture. By the way, does baptism save?
No.
Then why do people teach that it does? They don't know any better. Some are ignorant to the scriptures. Some twist the scriptures to say what it does not say. But if baptism then can save, what good was it that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Amen. Yeah, either baptism saves or the blood of Jesus Christ saves. Can't have it both ways. And so the Bible clearly teaches that baptism is just a sign or a symbol or a reckoning of what happened to us when we did get saved. Amen. The old man died and was buried. The new man is raised to walk in newness of life. And so that is the picture. By the way, proper understanding of baptism and what it represents is crucial to overcoming the power of sin. What are we actually picturing when we baptize someone? Buried with him in likeness of his what?
Death.
Death, raised to walk in what?
Newness
of life. And so now, if I'm buried with him in likeness of his death, what am I signifying that I am dead to?
Sin.
So then that power of sin should be broken because dead men don't what?
Sin.
Dead men don't sin.
That's right, they don't.
Now, if you go to a funeral and the corpse gets up and starts dancing, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
They're in trouble. How many of y'all saw that Doritos commercial where the guy wanted to be buried with all those Doritos and he's in there and he's watching the football game and everybody's mourning at the funeral and somebody scores a touchdown and he gets excited and jumps and the casket slides down and pops open and everybody's like,
oh my goodness.
And he's in there eating. He's like, oh, yeah, hi.
I'm in heaven.
That doesn't happen at funerals.
No, it doesn't, Pastor. No,
that makes for a good Doritos commercial, but that doesn't happen if it happens at a real funeral, then there's a problem with that. There's a real problem with that. Amen. And so remember the picture of baptism. And we've got to really understand the representation, not just of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, but also what it means. It means that I am being raised to walk in what? A newness of life. When I'm walking in a newness of life, then I should be getting closer and closer to Christ and the image. And what is that? Sanctification. Sanctification. So we identified with his death. Dead men don't sin. Let me read you what it says here. When we were baptized, we identified ourselves with the death of Christ. Baptism pictures the fact that on the day of salvation, we were grafted into Christ. By the way, go back to the time that you got saved. On the day that you got saved, the power of sin in your life was broken. Somebody say amen. That's great. The day that you got saved, the power of sin was broken. By the way, you say, preacher, how do you know that? From my own life, I know I got saved February 3rd, 1991. I went home and I told y'all before, I tried to turn up a cold one. And guess what? Didn't have the same effect.
Didn't have it. That's right, Pastor.
When I had that first curse word come out of my mouth, I had a holy fear that came over me.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
As soon as that blankety blank came out, I thought,
oh, no.
I hadn't felt that before. When I took that first drink afterwards, I thought, it's not right. What happened? That power of sin was broken. And God said, you don't have to do that anymore.
That's right.
That's not going to affect you the same way that it did before. On the contrary, you're going to feel real bad about that. And we should feel real bad about sin.
Amen.
And so baptism is just a picture of that. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter number 6. We read these verses all the time when we have a baptism. Now, how many of y'all got baptized in cold water?
Yeah.
Oh, Bev, you got baptized in cold water? You did? Amen. How many got baptized in a river?
Yeah.
Nobody got baptized in a river? How many got baptized in a swimming pool? How many got baptized at church? The majority of y'all. Amen. Make us look bad. Amen. No. Our baptism would be under renovation. And so we had to go down to a local hotel and get baptized in their pool. And so Pastor Bennett took us down there and baptized us in the pool. It was nice. It was warm. And I remember I had to baptize. How many of y'all remember Manny Fernandez? He was about to go to Korea or someplace like that. And he wanted to get baptized before he went. So I had to go up to Bethel and baptize him. It was the coldest day of the year. The water was as cold as ice.
Whoa.
It was a chill ice. And I actually had to get in the baptistry with him.
My goodness, man.
I like to froze to death. But he said, Pastor, I want to get baptized before I go. I said, Brother, could you have picked a warmer day? No, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm not glory. Went up. There was last minute. They filled up the baptistry, got in there. And I think I like to call it my death of cold. Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
But getting baptized in cold water, getting baptized in warm water, does it matter?
No.
No. The principle is still the same. Whether it's cold water, icy water, dirty water, the principle is still the same. Notice Romans chapter 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let me give you a definition of two words here. The first one is destroyed, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That word destroyed there means to render idle or useless. So in other words, when we get baptized, when we go under the water, when we lay down, we are picturing that the body of sin that I have is dead or destroyed or is rendered useless. I don't have to use my body to sin. Okay. But then it says henceforth. Henceforth means no further, not anymore. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Why? Dead men don't sin. And the picture of baptism is this man that used to be is dead. We're going to bury him, but we're going to raise up a new man. And so destroyed means render idle or useless. That's why towards the end down there, notice down there in verse number 12, let not sin therefore what? Reign or rule in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your what? Members or body parts. Not talking about church members there. Your members, body parts as instruments or tools of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God. Now, I'm going to do two things here. I am going to use my body then or my body parts as tools for righteousness. If I'm using my body parts as tools of righteousness, can I use them for tools of unrighteousness at the same time?
No.
So I've taken them out of circulation as far as righteousness and put them in circulation as far as righteousness is concerned. So the baptism then represents, let's take this man out of commission for the devil and put him in commission for Christ. Everybody get that picture?
Yes, sir.
So therein is the picture of power over sin. And what I'm doing, I'm declaring to everybody that, hey, look, I'm born again. Hey, look, I'm saved. Hey, the man that I used to be, the woman I used to be, the child I used to be is no longer.
Amen.
We're burying him with a public service.
Yep.
Dead, raised to walk in newness of life. So when you look at verse number 6, that's what's going on. We should not serve sin. So the power of sin has been broken. So what are we talking about here? We're identifying with his death.
Yeah.
Let me read this. The unregenerate man or old nature was put to death when Christ redeemed us. The cross destroyed the body of sin or rendered it inoperable. And so that's the thought process behind the baptism. It goes on to say this. When we received Christ Jesus by faith, we were made a partaker of salvation through the Holy Spirit. The old man and his evil propensities are dead in Jesus Christ. Amen. Going under the waters of baptism symbolizes that your old nature was crucified with Jesus. And so what do we have to do? We have to have the mindset to reckon that that's happening.
Yep.
Amen? Amen. So it brings us down to B. We identify with his resurrection. So not only did we kill the old man, but guess what? We raised up a new man. That's what baptism shows.
Amen,
the old man is dead. The new man is raised to walk in newness of life. Now, how many literally felt different coming out of the baptismal waters? You literally felt different. Now, it doesn't always happen. You don't always feel different. Some people do. Some people don't. But what is the main fact about getting baptized that should be across the board for everybody? Rose? Amen. The knowledge of that fact, that this happens, whether you feel good or not, doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is that you obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. So I'm obedient to what he told me to do. I've been baptized. What does it represent? A death to the old life, a raise to walk in the newness of life. That's what it represents. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether I felt good doesn't matter. What matters is that I factually obeyed Jesus Christ and I factually buried that old man. And so now the memory should come to my mind. When I got baptized, what did that mean? That means that the old man was dead.
Yep.
And I'm just publicly showing what happened inwardly. Or as I like to say, it's an outward showing of an inward work of grace. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Now, is that important? Very important. Now, do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? No. But will my baptism help me obey Christ? Yes.
It
is the first step of obedience after the person is saved. And it's got to be a scriptural baptism. And so we identify with his resurrection. Baptism pictures the resurrection of Christ as well as his death. And so notice verse number 4, Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as, or as a simile, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should what? Walk in newness of life. By the way, did Jesus get baptized?
Yes.
Yes,
he did.
Did Jesus get saved? He was already saved. He was never lost. Amen. He's God. So then why did Jesus get baptized? Show an example. By the way, he didn't start his earthly ministry until when? He got baptized. You don't find Jesus starting an earthly ministry at all. You say, well, in the apocryphal books, you know, he healed a bird. A bird is not a person. He didn't start his earthly ministry until he was baptized. What did that baptism of Jesus Christ signify? Not so much the death, burial, and resurrection, but you're on the right track. Not a new life, but you're on the right track. Yes, ma'am? Obedience. He was not coming to do what he wanted to do. He was coming to do what God wanted him to do, even to the death of the cross.
Yes, sir.
And so his baptism, he said, look, I'm ready to be obedient. And he started his ministry right after that. What was the first thing that happened to Jesus after he got baptized? Got tempted by the devil. What's one of the first things that happens to our Christians when they get baptized? They get beat up by the devil. The devil puts them through all sorts of tests. You're not really a Christian. You got baptized and it's all a fluke. It's all a farce. You're not really saved. Look at you. You stumbled over this sin. You stumbled over that sin. Look at you. You're making a mockery out of Christianity. Pastor, I'm not saved. Is that what we do? That's what I did.
Yeah.
He knew. He made me drink. He made me smoke. He made me curse. And as soon as we get baptized, the devil jumps on you. Sometimes he jumps on you before you get baptized. A lot of Christians don't even get baptized.
That's right, Pastor.
But as soon as a Christian gets baptized and identifies with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, he says, oh, you want to line up against me, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to oppose me, huh? Oh, you want to get on that side, do you? Mm-hmm, I got news for you. And he begins to attack. Now, of course, Jesus showed us how to defeat Satan. What is that? Through the power of the Spirit,
yes,
and through obedience. And so baptism represents that I want to be obedient to God. And so guess what? The more I obey this book, the more victory over sin I'm going to have.
Yep.
Simple as that. Why? He says down there in verse number 13, neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Is God going to force you to do that? No.
No.
Notice verse number 14. For sin should not have dominion over you. What is that? Sin is not going to rule over you anymore. For ye are not under the law, but under what?
Grace,
God's favor, God's ability, God's power to do what's right. Now, does God give you grace to sin?
No.
He gives you grace to serve.
Yes, sir, he does.
So God's going to give you every ability to serve. And so he says, you're not under the law, but under grace. So he's going to give you that ability. Okay, what is it, verse 15? What then, verse 15? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? As servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You say, well, but preacher, but I'm saved now, so I've got eternal life, so I'm not going to die. Oh, there's more ways to die.
Oh, yeah, Pastor, there is.
You could have death to a friendship,
mm-hmm.
death to a relationship.
Yep.
Just had a call last night. Couple married 43 years.
Wow.
Getting ready to get divorced. That broke my heart. Death to relationship. It could be death to purity. It could be death to a reputation. It could be death to someone's character.
Mm-hmm.
It could be death to your career.
Yep.
So there's more ways to die. Sin has its way of killing.
Yes, sir, it does.
And if the devil knows he can't get you eternally,
mm-hmm.
he will get you temporarily in this life. The decisions that you and I make to sin have killing consequences oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher, I didn't know it was that serious. It was serious enough for Jesus to die for it.
Yes, sir, it was.
This is serious business. We look at, well, I'm just a Christian. You have a target on your back
mm-hmm.
that says, I'm a Christian.
Yep.
You have a target on your chest that says, I'm a Christian. You have a target on your forehead that says, I'm a Christian.
Yep.
You have a target in the back of your head that says, I'm a Christian. You have a target over your whole entire person that says, I'm a Christian. And what the devil wants to do is take you and I out of commission.
Yes, sir, he does.
And he will do it by compromise. Or he will just come up and just say, I'm just going to slit up to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care how he gets you.
Right.
But his goal is to get you. And to get you out of the battle. And to get you not to reckon yourself dead to sin.
Right.
But actually alive to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so when sin comes calling, you say, hello. And he says, no, you don't answer.
That's right.
Why? Dead men don't sin.
That's right, they don't.
So remember the picture of baptism. What does baptism represent? It represents we identify with his death, and then we identify with his resurrection. The new man is led by the Spirit. Amen. And so Jesus rose to a new life, and we have the promise of victory over sin. So let's get into number three here. Number three, reckon ourselves alive unto God. So we've got this power. Got this power. Number one, refuse to presume upon the grace of God. You and I have to understand grace is not a license. Grace is the motivation to serve. Then number two, remember the picture of baptism. We identify with his death. We identify with his resurrection. So you and I don't have to serve sin. But then number three, reckon ourselves alive unto God. A, we are dead to sin because of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are dead to sin because of the cross. By the way, when you look at the cross, not only should you see Jesus as he died on the cross for sin, not only should you see sin, who else should you see on the cross? Rose? We should see ourselves. The old man has been crucified, killed, nailed to the cross with his sinful life, and he has been taken down and buried and raised to walk in the newness of life. So I should see myself as a dead man to sin, but then alive to God. Reckon ourselves alive to God. A, we are dead to sin because of the cross. B, we are alive to God through Christ. We're alive to God through Christ. So let's talk about that just for a moment. To say that the old man is crucified and dead is one thing. To reckon the old man dead is another thing altogether. I can say all day long, well, you know, I'm dead to sin. The old man's crucified and dead. That's one thing to say. That's a whole nother thing to live. Amen. Why? I cannot be responsive to sin. What is the secret power behind sin? What's the secret power behind sin? Rose? No, it's the secret power behind sin. In other words, how does it get us? Temptation is a part of it. The flesh is a part of it. Aha.
Here we go.
Sin is normally what we like. That's the power behind it. The devil's not going to offer you broccoli if he knows you hate broccoli.
Yes, sir.
He's going to offer you cakes and bonbons or whatever it is your weakness. So he's not going to, you know, I can see myself going to Joshua. Joshua, I got some broccoli. You know what Joshua's going to do? Turn. I don't want that. But I would say, Joshua, I got some candy. Boing.
Yeah.
Yes. Why? The power behind sin is that Satan knows what you like. And he knows what you want. That's the importance of reckoning that old man dead with Christ and buried. Dead indeed unto sin, because now sin shouldn't have any power over us. Notice what he says down there in verse number 14 again. For sin should not have what?
Dominion
over you. So if I'm going to reckon myself alive to God, I've got to make sure that the old man is dead, because the old man does not want to obey God. By the way, the old man likes the old way.
Yes, sir.
The new man likes the new way.
Mm-hmm.
And there is going to be what? Conflict. There's going to be battle. It's going to be struggle. Did the old man leave you?
No.
No. Where's he at? He's inside. But where should he be? Well, he can't get outside, but he should be buried on the inside. He's dead. Dead men don't sin. And now, so how am I going to get this dead man to stay dead so that the new man can live? What's that?
Don't feed him.
I've got to feed the new man and starve the old man.
Yeah.
Now, if I don't give Joshua sweets long enough, what is he inevitably going to want? No, if I don't give him sweets for a long time. And he's only got two choices, sweets or broccoli. And he's not getting sweets.
Then he'll have to eat.
He's going to eat the broccoli or he's going to die.
Yes, sir.
Guess what inevitably he's going to eat? He's going to come to that broccoli.
To that broccoli.
Why? Because we cut him off of the sweets. Josh, are you hungry? Want some broccoli? Want to die? Want some broccoli? So I got to starve the old man.
Yeah.
Now here's the hard part.
Uh-huh.
The old man likes sin.
Yes, sir, he does, Pastor.
So that means I got to cut off my supply of sin.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're around sin, the more you are exposed to sin, the more you're going to want sin.
Yep.
Hey, folks, when I first got saved, I had to stop going where the smokers hung out. Why? I was a smoker. And as long as I was around the smokers, you know what I was doing? But I'm not smoking. But I'm in a room full of them.
Yes, sir.
And you know what that made me want to do? Smoke.
Smoking.
When I cut off drinking, went to where the drinkers hung out. But I'm not drinking. They were all blip, 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 blip.
Yep.
And I had orange juice. And as I look, you know what I was thinking? Maybe just one.
One
won't hurt me. You know what I said? I'm getting out of here. Why am I around these guys tempting me to want what I know I shouldn't have, and I'm trying to drink some orange juice and hang out and think, and it was not funny.
That's right.
Nothing was funny about it at all.
Right.
So what I had to do, I had to cut out that crowd. I had to come away from that. I had to cut out hanging out with the smokers. I had to cut out things that made me want to sin. Why? Because I knew the dead man, the old man had been crucified and the new man was raised to walk in newness of life. But my exposure to sin roused up in me the old man.
Yeah.
And Christian, let me tell you something. If you're exposed to sin, you're going to want to sin.
Sin, yeah.
If you're exposed to that weakness, you're going to want to indulge in that weakness. The problem is Satan knows your weakness. And so the Bible says now we got to reckon ourselves alive to God. Notice 6:11 down there, Romans 6:11. I think that's in your books as well. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto what? Sin. Dead men don't sin. But alive unto God through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So I'm not living through the old man. Now I'm living through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his spirit. By the way, Jesus said it plainly. He did nothing in his own spirit of his own will. He did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he did it at the Father's will. Amen.
Amen.
And so when you look at this, he says, you've got to reckon yourselves indeed dead unto sin, but alive. You got to count that has happened. By the way, when you put your check in the bank, you know what you're doing? You're reckoning.
Yes, sir.
You're accounting that this check is going to get placed in your account so you can go out and spend some money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're reckoning. When you get your credit card, you're reckoning that the bank is going to give you money when you stick that thing in the car and in the teller and bring it out. You're accounting that they're going to do what they said. You and I have to account that our old man is dead, but our new man is alive unto God. It says this in the book, and I like this statement. Either we believe that the victory is already ours and act upon it, or we do not each day.
Amen.
Either we believe that the victory is ours, we act upon it, or we do not. If we do not act upon the victory, what can I expect? Defeat.
Defeat. Yep.
I can expect defeat. If I don't act upon it, I can expect defeat. And by the way, folks, the morning service, we're going to be talking about the devil.
Yes.
he is nobody to play around with.
Nope.
He is a very formidable adversary.
Yes, sir, he is.
But he does not come close to the power of God. But guess what? He can overcome you and I. That's why we cannot do this in our own power. We've got to liken or reckon ourselves alive to God so that we can obey the Lord Jesus Christ. We get the power as we obey. Each day we must put to our account or reckon the life that Jesus Christ wants us to live and that the old man has been crucified. Amen. By the way, it is as simple as your heart telling your mind what to do and your will then obeying it. It's just that simple. What's the Bible says about your heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Yep.
What's the Bible says? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So then if the issues of life come out of my heart, if my heart's for God, my heart tells my mind what to do, and my mind tells my will what to do, and my will obeys, and guess what I do? I do that which is right.
Yep.
But if I don't reckon that process happening, guess what? If my heart's in the world or my heart's towards sin, my heart's going to tell my mind to sin. My mind's going to tell my will to sin. And guess what I will do? I will sin.
Yep.
This is not mystical. This is just straight textbook stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are dead to sin because of the cross. We must reckon that we are already dead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that truth has been applied to our account. By the way, did Jesus Christ die for sin? Yes.
Yes, he did.
Did he raise again the third day? Yes. Did he give us the power of power over sin? Yes. How do we get that power over sin? Love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all of my mind, and with all my soul. Reckon that that old man is dead, and that every part of my being wants to love God. The problem with that is, though, sin is still there.
Yes, sir, it is.
And what I love is going to be my undoing.
Yep.
Or my doing.
Mm-hmm.
If I love sin, it's going to be my undoing. If I love God, that's going to be my doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're dead to sin because of the cross. And then that second one down there, we're alive to God through Jesus Christ. By the way, this is a choice that we must make.
Yep.
I like this statement. We don't have to fight to overcome sin.
Ah, I like it.
You say, oh, I thought we did. Amen. Jerry's on the right track. Amen. That battle was won at the cross.
Yes, sir, it was.
So we don't have to fight to overcome sin. You and I can't overcome it. Jesus Christ has already overcome it at the cross. So we don't have to fight to overcome it. We just have to access the power of God to triumph with God.
Amen.
And so our job is not to try and to say, well, I'm going to overcome sin. No, you couldn't do it if you tried. The same grace that saves us enables us to live by faith of the Son of God as we daily reckon ourselves dead to sin. All right. So we are alive to God through Jesus Christ. By the way, to be alive to Jesus Christ is a choice that we must make. Do all of us have a free choice?
Yes.
So we're going to make a choice. We're going to make the choice to say, this old man is dead and buried. The new man is raised to walk in the newness of life. And I'm going to reckon myself alive to God. Or I'm going to raise up the old man again. I'm going to obey him. What did he give me? Grief, misery, woe, heartache, and headache. But guess what? The old man likes to do what? Sin.
Sin.
The old man likes to sin. The question we have to ask ourselves is, where's my heart? Where's my heart? It's a heart issue. Because if my heart is yearning after sin, there's a problem with that. There's a big problem with that. That means the old man is still alive. And the old man should be dead. Now, is he going to be tempted to be raised up every day of our lives? Yes, he is.
Yes.
Talking about anger tonight in the video. Many of us, if not all of us, are angered on a daily basis.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But now what do we do with that anger? That's the key.
Yep.
That's the key. See, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Well, you're going to find out tonight that's really not what it's talking about. It's talking about you're going to be forces pushed against you to be angered, and you're not supposed to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible. With a new man, it's very possible.
Yes, sir.
With the old man, impossible. What does the old man want? Revenge?
Revenge.
Get even?
Yes, yes.
Justice?
Yes.
Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth?
Yes, yes.
Sam Davis said eye for an eye. He said about 15 eyes for one eye. You know, a whole set of mouth of teeth for one tooth. That's what the old man says. So we've got to reckon ourselves alive to God. That means I've got to understand mentally that I died with Christ on the cross. I was buried, but the new man is raised up. The old man who wanted to follow sin is not going to do anything because he is dead. The new man then is raised. By the way, do we have that power in us? Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, we do. By the way, the power of God in you is not exercised until you obey this book.
That's right, Pastor.
Once you obey this book, the power of God is exercised in your life. He gives you the power and the ability. It's there. It's latent. It's in you. But until you exercise this book, it's not going to happen. I've got to exercise this book. I've got to do what it says. And therein, instantaneously, that power is there. By the way, the first time I turned down a drink of alcohol, guess what was exercised? Power of God.
Power of God, yep.
The very first time I turned down that cigarette, the power of God was exercised. He says, you know what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which in you, which you have of God, you're not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. I'm not going to do that. I glorify God. Give me the ability. So we have to follow what God says. I want to leave you with this verse. We're going to meditate on this one this week. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:11. That's going to be our memory verse for this week. We can reckon ourselves alive to God. We're dead to sin because of the cross. We've got to reckon that fact. And then we've got to live. We are alive to God through Christ. We've got to make that choice. And I'll leave you with this three sentences. Victory is available to us if we simply access it. If we do not apply the truth of the cross, we will be dominated by sin. The problem is not that the voice of sin is so loud. It is that we are not listening to the voice of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Romans 6:11 is going to be our memory verse for this week. Sin should not reign in our mortal bodies because it has been put to death. And we just have to access that victory. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. Help us today. Lord, all of us struggle with this area of the power of sin. Because, Lord, in our heart of hearts, sometimes we do crave sin. But Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that old man is dead. We want to make sure the new man is raised to walk in the newness of life. Help us, Lord, as we look at the Word of God, as we see what it says, Lord, as we access the victory that is ours, and as we love you with all of our heart, our mind, and our souls, Lord, then we can reckon ourselves alive to God. We can obey the Word of God, and the Spirit of God can work in us and through us. God, help us to practically see what the Bible says and then physically do it, knowing that's where the power is. The ability to say no, the power to refuse sin is through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And help us to walk in boldness today, Lord, accessing the truth of the Word of God. Bless now our refreshments next door. Help us as we meditate on Romans 6:11 throughout this week. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now in Jesus' name. Amen.